Hello and welcome once again. This is Mike Moody as we continue on in our study of 1 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 3. Our Father, we do bow in thy presence. We ask for strength and for discernment, for guidance as we consider your word. Father, may we be challenged today. May we be encouraged. May we know your will, Father. We ask for your guidance and we pray for those that are listening, whether saved or lost, that whatever need is in their heart, Father, that you may work by thy Spirit and thy words. We do ask these things in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're picking up at verse 12, and we desire to move on into the early parts of chapter 4 today. As we have considered this chapter, as we've mentioned, each chapter deals with the coming of the Lord in some manner in this book of 1 Thessalonians as well as 2 Thessalonians. But this chapter number 3 has been dealing with the further development of the assembly there at Thessalonica. We realize that their testimony was shown in chapter 1, the background of how the meeting had begun in chapter 2, and yes, their development in chapter 3. And so in verse 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all his saints." And so here, we see the desire that all the believers would be established, and that they, in their hearts, would be unblameable in holiness before God. And so, here's the reference to the coming of the Lord in chapter 3. And yet the desire is consistent with the rest of the chapter, that Paul is burdened that they would be matured in the things of God. And yet when we talk about this in the tenor of Scripture, about being presented before the Lord, or to stand before the Lord, in an unblameable manner. You know, there's a twofold application to that. Here and now, while we are here before the Lord expects us and encourages and teaches us to walk in a holy manner, practical sanctification. Now, positionally, we are called saints. That means we are in Christ. We are sanctified. We are called saints. That's our position. And yet we are not sinless here on the earth. There is no such a thing as sinless perfection for the believer, because we have the battle, as Paul did also there in Romans 7, the battle of the old man and the new man. The old man has not been eradicated. And so therefore there's that battle. Who are we feeding, as in Colossians 3? You know, the exhortation there was to seek the things which are above and to put on the new man and put off the old man. So that sin nature is not gone, but we must feed the new man, feed our spiritual man. And so that's one side of it. And yet then there's the positional side, that we will be presented before the Lord, blameless and holy in him in love, as you see there at the end of Jude, and also there at the beginning of Ephesians. There's a couple of examples there in the midst of Colossians chapter 1. It mentions these things about being presented before the Lord, holy, and before him in love. And so one day, you know, we will be, as the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation 19, the bride of Christ will be presented unto the glorious bridegroom, and we will be presented in this blameless, holy fashion before him. We'll have our new bodies and we will be presented to him as his bride. And yet that same positional truth carries over to now. Even though we practically are dealing with these sinful, these vile bodies, as Paul says in Philippians, you know, positionally we are blameless before him, because our position is we are in Christ. Now, the exhortation from the Lord is that we are to live practically in the way that we are positionally. If we are in Christ, for example, in the book of Ephesians, it talks about being in the heavenlies. That's not the place of heaven, but in the heavenlies. That is our realm. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:3 that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not that we're blessed with all material blessings in earthly places, but we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He also goes on to say that in chapter 2 of that book of Ephesians, that we're seated in the heavenlies. My dear friend, you may be standing on the earth, but if you're saved, you're seated in the heavenlies. That's your position because you're in Christ. You know, there's a dozen times in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, a dozen times he would speak as to the believer as being in Christ or in him or in whom, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, or in himself. You know, if you're saved, you're in Christ, and that's your glorious position. So as Paul is saying here, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, yes, there is a desire that practically they would live unto the Lord in a sanctified manner. But we can also be so thankful and praise God in heaven that we that are saved are also positionally already seen as in Christ, holy and unblameable before him in love. Oh, we have much to be thankful for. And so with these things, notice if you would, this brings us to chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 1, it begins with this word, furthermore. That could be rendered also, if you have a concordance, to mean finally, or as to the rest. You see, he's been dealing with the beginning of this assembly. And now he's going to basically say here in chapters 4 and 5, we're going to deal with specific issues of holiness. Specific areas of how we should live before God as to the rest. That's what we have here. Furthermore. And so in chapters 4 and 5, there are many things he'll deal with. But it's amazing that in the middle of these two chapters, there, beginning in chapter 4, verse 13, down to verse 18, he deals with the imminent return of the Lord, that is, to be caught up, as in verse 17. The word we use is the rapture, to be snatched away. And so, in this translating of the saints, that is, that's another biblical term, the translation, oh, this could be at any moment. So why does he bring the rapture in at the end of chapter 4 for talking about Christian living? My dear friend, if the Lord could come any moment, and by the tenor of Scripture we realize that's the next thing on God's prophetic calendar, is his return in his time. If he can come at any time, then it matters how we are living when the Lord returns. What will we be doing when the Lord returns? Solemn thought, isn't it? Maybe it's an exciting thought, it should be, but it's also a solemn thought. So in verse 1 of chapter 4, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments or charges we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Oh, we see in these first two verses, directly, right to the point where the rubber meets the road, as it were, how we ought to walk and please God. Flowing out of the end of chapter 3, the desire that we live unto the Lord Jesus in a pleasing manner. When we think of this, notice here in verse 1, he says, by the Lord Jesus. You know, this group of words, this title, I should say, the Lord Jesus, and sometimes it includes the Lord Jesus Christ, but in some manner, these two words, the title of the Lord Jesus, is found in the New Testament over 100 times. The Lord Jesus. May we be careful to give him his title. The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we see also, verse 1, they were exhorted by this name. They were reminded of a charge of the commandments by this name in verse 2. And so as we consider these things, notice as he moves forward into verse 3. Of course, let me ask you this. Who do you know in the Word of God that pleased God in his walk? Perhaps Enoch. He pleased God, and he was not, for God took him. He was translated, or as in a sense raptured, into heaven without tasting death, as repeated in Hebrews 11 about Enoch. But he pleased God. He walked with God. May you and I have that testimony that we walk with God. And so this is a place we'd like to read, and then we'll like to consider it more in the future. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Do we know God's will? Well, here's an example of it right here. Let's look to our Lord. Father, again, encourage our hearts and challenge our hearts, we pray, by thy word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being with us. If you have any questions or concerns, please call us at 824-5525 or write us at P.O. Box 1259, Ramsour, North Carolina, zip code 27316. Our requests for tapes are free. Join us next time at 1 o'clock with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.